Been an eventful summer in Vancouver. You know, the Canucks have been in the headlines a lot. Good things and bad things. And to help us sort through all of it is Sportsnet 650's Joey Kenward. Joey, thanks for this. It is the dog days of summer. And for Sports Talk Radio, not much to talk about. What the heck are you guys yapping about over there?
Buddy, we've had no shortage of things to talk about here on the West Coast. I mean, whether it's the Vancouver Canucks, both on and off the ice, whether it's been the Vancouver Whitecaps trying to go after a national soccer championship and all the drama that came with that. BC Lions, they're at home to Edmonton tonight. So, it's been a brutal summer out here for sports fans, Jeff. It's just been terrible.
Well, let's talk about Trevor Linden. Let's start off with the big one here, the ex-president. Are we ever going to learn the whole story? Have we heard anything new the last week or two, what actually happened?
Not much since the news broke that the Canucks parted ways with Trevor Linden. The president of Hockey Ops for the last 4 years hasn't spoken since the press release had come out from the organization. The majority owner of the team, Francesco Aquilini, hasn't spoke directly to the fans outside of his Twitter account the day that the news became official. And I don't know when we might next hear from either Linden or Aquilini. What we do know is that current general manager Jim Benning is in charge of the hockey operations department. He will be in charge of all hockey decisions moving forward. And we'll wait and see if a replacement for Linden is to be named. As it sits right now, there isn't anybody in between the GM and the owner. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if that is the status once the team gets back in town for training camp next month.
Well, from the outside looking in, Joey, is it just as simple thing as different philosophy?
Yeah, that's sort of the take that I've got, Jeff, when trying to dissect it. I'm not going to lie, when the news broke a couple of weeks ago, it really surprised me, particularly the timing. As you know, as diehard hockey fans know, the NHL in late July goes relatively dark. There's not much going on right now for NHL executives up until this week when you've got the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup, and that's where you see a lot of executives and hockey personnel. You had the World Junior Showcase a week ago in Kamloops. So the timing, as much as anything, was the biggest surprise to me. But the other part that surprised me is that it seemed that everybody from the outside looked like they were on the same page philosophy-wise. They've built from within. They've done a good job at drafting. They're trying to bring in their kids through the pipeline. They're building up their prospect pool with players in the American Hockey League. They want to be able to bring in more players. And that really had seemed to have been the message, whether it was from Linden, whether it was from Benning, whether it was from head coach Travis Green, and on the occasional social media post from Francesco Aquilini. I don't know if it ultimately was philosophical differences or not as to why Linden's not here. And we may never know. Well, all we can do is just wait and see what happens, and at least what's next on tap is that the team will be here for training camp in September.
Sportsnet 650's Joey Kenward joining us from Vancouver. You know, Joey, I love you, man, but if I was the president of a hockey club and you were my general manager and I said, you can hire coaches, scouts, you do the draft, but this is the philosophy I want to have, and if you wanted to go a different direction, I'd fire you right there, right? I wouldn't quit my job, so it just seemed like, again, from the outside looking in, it was like Trevor Linden went, I have this philosophy, and like no one was on the same page with him, and he just kind of moved aside. Am I way off base with that?
I don't think so. There's a lot of people that feel that way. But having said that, Jim Benning had his contract extended earlier this past season, Jeff.
Okay.
And that's what makes it really, you know, weird in the eyes of a lot of Canucks fans, saying, okay, the team's missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. Yeah, you've hit a few home runs in the draft. Most recently with a Rookie of the Year finalist in Brock Besser. So why make changes? And that's where I think the great mystery is we ultimately don't know whose decision this was. Was this Linden's decision to step away? Was this ownership's decision to say, okay, if you guys aren't all on the same page, then a decision has to be made and we're going to move out, you know, the guy that's the figurehead of the franchise rather than the person that's running the club and taking care of all the hockey ops decisions. It's a head scratcher, and really, it will continue to be a head scratcher until it comes to light as to who ultimately made the decision? Was it Lyndon to walk away, or was it the ownership team to say, we're going to move in a different direction and no longer need Lyndon at the helm?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to dwell on that too much, but it would be nice to get the whole story one day.
Hey, buddy, try working out in this market, trying to figure out the story. It's been great for sports talk radio. It's great if you're the radio station that covers the hockey team, but fans, at the end of the day, they want clarity. They want to know why these big game-changing decisions are made, and there's still a little bit of mystery surrounding it.
It seems like Vegas and what they did last year has really messed up a lot of teams where there's some owners. I'm not saying this is what happened in Vancouver, but there's some owners out there going, well, I've been trying to win a Stanley Cup for 20, 30 years. These guys are in the Stanley Cup final in the first year. What are we waiting for? Let's change what we're doing. Could that be a factor at all?
Well, maybe, but then you can also look at the team that won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And look how many players that the Washington Capitals had on their lineup that they had from day one through the draft. To be honest, maybe I'm a little old school, Jeff. Mm-hmm. The way the Washington Capitals built their team, and sure, they had some huge hits in the draft, whether it was Ovechkin or Kuznetsov, but the majority of that lineup was drafted and developed by the Washington Capitals. Sure, they brought in an occasional piece via free agency or via trade. And then on the flip side, the opponent they faced in the final to represent the West, well, they were all acquired as extra parts, for lack of a better phrase, from teams that didn't want them.
Right.
So is there a right way to build a team? I don't necessarily think there is. But I'm sure there's a lot of people around the NHL that sit in GM's chairs that are wondering, okay, well, if one team's going to get to the final one way and another team's going to get there a completely different method, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And that'll be really interesting to see, especially with that first-year team in Vegas, if other GMs around the league are going to take a different approach and mindset to building their team.
I'm not sure if this is breaking news for you, but I was on the train today, and I think Henrik Sedin was there. He had his Vancouver Canucks T-shirt on. It had 33 on the back with Sedin. So, you know, obviously he's not playing hockey this year. I think he's in Calgary right now. Has it set in yet that the Sedins will not play this year?
You know, it might have been the third member of the Sedin family.
It could have been.
just be aware of that, okay? Because they do have another brother.
That's it. Had 33 on the back, so.
Yeah, hey, you got to support family, right?
That's true, yes.
I'm surprised he wasn't. You know, and you know what? You may see him tomorrow on the train there. He might be wearing 22.
That's true.
So I'll keep that in mind. It's gonna be weird going into training camp and not seeing the Sedins on the ice for the Vancouver Canucks. Two of the greatest that have ever played for this franchise. Two of the best ambassadors this team has ever had. But they know full well that the team's going through a youth movement. They know full well that sure they could have been able to play and probably earn another contract. I like the fact though, Jeff, that and again, I'm very, very lucky and fortunate to know these two, not only as players, but as people. I'm thrilled that they're going out on their own terms. They will be surefire first ballot Hockey Hall of Famers, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of people in Calgary that might think otherwise. These guys have been extremely great role models in this city, not just for their teammates around them, but for fans and for people in the community, maybe that aren't even into the Vancouver Canucks. And they plan to make their home here. Yeah, they're in Sweden right now for a well-deserved off-season break, but they will be in Vancouver. They just won't be at Rogers Arena every day. And it's been a real treat to watch them day in and day out as members of the franchise. But I will admit, it's going to be odd seeing this team day in and day out without number 22 or 33 lacing them up.
Joey Kenward from Vancouver, Sportsnet 650. Off-season signings by the Canucks, there's been a couple, but like third and fourth liners, right? How's that going over in Canuck land?
Well, it's probably a little bit different than, you know, the reaction fans had in Calgary to the signings the Flames had. The players in question, you mentioned Jay Beagle, won a Stanley Cup with Washington. Antoine Roussel, veteran with the Dallas Stars. They also picked up Tim Schaller, a little bit of a younger guy, more of a depth role forward, a little bit of grit, coming over from Boston. Now, whether fans like it or not, the organization had one thing in mind going into free agency, more so than anything, and that was to add more size, strength, and experience to their roster. They lost that in a big way when Derek Dorsett had to call it a career far too early last season, after having neck surgery and forced into retirement. Do people think that the Canucks did the right thing by getting those type of players? I think so, but here's where a lot of people are left scratching their heads, and that's both dollar figure and term.
Yeah.
Beagle and Roussel are each getting paid between $3 and $4 million apiece, but their term is 4 years. And these are for players that, if you look on the depth chart in Vancouver, fans, most of them have them slotted in as third or fourth line forwards. So Canucks obviously want to keep building that youth. They want to be able to keep giving younger players an opportunity, but make no mistake about it, when you take the all-time two greatest leaders out of that locker room, and when you don't have a lot of leadership there, leaving the void behind, plus a lot of sandpaper, if you will, those are the two players that management at least feels are the ideal fit here in the offseason.
Okay, you've mentioned youth a few times here. Who are the guys that can make this team as rookies? Who can we watch out for?
Well, arguably the best young player not playing in the NHL last season is a Canucks prospect out of Sweden named Elias Pettersson. Now, he was picked fifth overall 2 years ago. Very easily, when looking back on it, probably could have played in Vancouver last year. But as a teenager, he went back home to Sweden, played in the SHL, and as a teenager, he did something that no other teenager in that league has ever done, and that's win the scoring title and be named MVP and, as well, playoff MVP, leading his club, the Vesco Lakers, to a national championship. He played at the World Juniors, winning a silver medal for Sweden, played at the World Hockey Championships. He's definitely going to be given every opportunity to make the club, and I think you'll see him on a full-time basis once they start playing for keeps in October. The first-round pick Vancouver had the year before was Finnish-born defenseman Olli Jolevi. Now, he played alongside Juuso Väliämäki, the Flames prospect last year at the World Juniors. He's accomplished everything he needed to in junior when he was playing in the OHL with the London Knights. Played his first full year of pro hockey last year at home. And they'll give, even if they've re-signed every one of their defensemen, they're going to give him a long look in training camp and preseason, Jeff, to see if he can beat out a veteran for a spot. Those are two of the young names that definitely come to mind. And the son of former NHL veteran forward Ulf Dahlin is Jonathan Dahlin. He's been in the Canucks system. He was a player they acquired in a trade a few years ago from Ottawa for Alex Burrows.
Right. Yeah.
He played over in Sweden, finished the year playing in the American Hockey League. He has, I think, an outside chance to crack one of the forward spots, but definitely Elias Pettersson is the name that Canucks fans are zoned in on the most to be able to be here at Rogers Arena come the fall.
How is this team not going to finish in last place, and are you already looking towards the 2019 draft?
Well, they're going to have a lot of things go right.
Yeah.
To get into the playoffs. First and foremost, they got to stay healthy. And this team was ravaged by injuries the last couple of years. That played a major role as to why they weren't playoff bound. They're going to have to be better defensively. They collectively as a team were not good in their own end of the rink, whether it was their goaltending, whether it was poor puck management behind the blue line. Their special teams have to be a whole lot better. All things being equal, and assuming the teams around them in the Pacific Division, and let's be honest, Calgary, you know, you guys talk about it daily, I'm sure, in your market. That division is tough. And for teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, they've got a big challenge just to get above the playoff bar this year, not only to get out of the division, but, you know, just qualify out of the conference. So if they aren't going to make the playoffs, then they have to be keeping their fingers crossed that they get a little bit of draft lottery luck. They've never had that. They've never had the first overall pick in the lottery. Now, they've had some good picks, even if they haven't had as many ping pong balls fall their way come lottery day. But they have to find a way, if they're going to be a playoff team, to have a whole lot more go in their favor on the ice than what they have had the last few years here out on the West Coast.
It's the 30th anniversary of the Gretzky trade, and I understand you guys on your radio station, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, had a Vancouver angle to what happened 30 years ago. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, on our morning show this morning, I spoke with former owner Arthur Griffiths, and a lot of people in these parts even don't realize how close the Vancouver Canucks were to getting number 99. Now, ultimately, money talked, and the glitz and glamour of Los Angeles talked for Gretzky to go to the Kings, but Arthur Griffiths mentioned, and he didn't go into specific dollar figures or pieces off the Canucks roster, but they were in it. He mentioned on air that the organization had offered Gretzky a future management position and part ownership of the Canucks when his career would be over.
Wow.
They also did at one point offer Father Walter Gretzky a position in the franchise. But at the end of the day, he never did say which pieces of the puzzle would be moving to the Oilers. He didn't mention what the dollar figure actually would be going to Peter Pocklington at that time. And it's also open knowledge out in these parts that the Canucks also made a push to get Gretzky when he wound up going in the mid to late 90s to the New York Rangers before his career was over when he was with St. Louis. So it was interesting. You can check that out on our Twitter page, at Sportsnet650. The link is there to listen to Arthur's chat. It's very interesting. And a lot of people in today's listening audience had no idea that it was only the LA Kings that were involved and in the mix to get the great one. The Vancouver Canucks were quite close, not just once, but on two occasions.
You mentioned you're doing a lot of soccer coverage in Vancouver. How great is this Alphonso Davies?
Buddy, he's the real deal.
Yeah?
And I don't throw that term out a lot. He's a special player. And you talk about that in hockey terms, the way Connor McDavid was as a teenager coming up in junior hockey. Alphonso Davies, for my money, is one of the great, if not the greatest soccer player Canada has ever produced. And that's saying a lot for a kid that's not even old enough to drink or to go and vote. He's so dynamic. He's so fast. Obviously, for your listeners that might not be aware, made huge, huge news around the continent and around the soccer world when he was part of the largest transfer agreement ever in Major League Soccer history, when the Whitecaps sold his playing rights to Bayern Munich of the Bundesliga for what, if everything works out the way it could, upwards of $22 million U.S. He's going to finish off his playing career in Vancouver for the remainder of this season, whether the Whitecaps get to the playoffs or not. Currently, they're out of the playoff picture, but they're a better team with him in the lineup. Make no mistake about it. But I keep telling people out in these parts here, if you get a chance, even though the season's with about a third remaining on the schedule, if you get a chance to see Alphonso Davies live up close and in person here in Vancouver, do yourself a favor, because one day people are going to see him playing on the global stage for one of the European powerhouses and be a dominant force on the European stage. He's a treat to watch, Jeff, and even for fans in Calgary, if you get a chance to see any coverage of the Whitecaps moving forward here over the next couple of months, do yourself a favor, because he's fun to watch.
You're a treat to listen to, Joey. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks very much. Anytime.
Okay.
I know a load when I hear it, so I'll hang up now and continue to listen. Thanks, Jeff.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.